that's right. Good afternoon, everybody. Meet me at the diner right here on WCRS. 75 years ago today, they turned on the transmitter and out of it came, "This is WCRS." And I am so pleased to have the, one of the people that has been so important to Greenwood and so important in my friendship here in Greenwood, Senator Floyd Nicholson, on here to celebrate this afternoon. How you doing today, Floyd?
And I'm doing great. And it's always a pleasure to be here with you at the diner, and especially on the 75th year celebration. So to go along with that, I'm going to take a steak medium well,
okay,
since we're at the diner.
Okay.
And give me a salad with ranch dressing, and I'll take a baked potato and put the bring me some sour cream and butter on the side for me, and I'll just drink water.
Well, thank God he didn't go for the highball.
Too early.
Too early. There you go. Well, Floyd, thank you so much. And, you know, it's been, we have actually owned WCRS. This is 6 years that we have owned WCRS. So pretty awesome growth. And this year in our 75th anniversary to add the FM component, 98.5, that's pretty big news.
That's great news. And I just want to commend you and your staff here for what you've done over the last 6 years into getting the word out to the community. You're a community radio station. I encourage people to listen to it because you're very involved in communicating the facts out to the people here in community. The technology that you've advanced in, everything that you have, we just want to say thank you because you're moving with the times.
Thank you very much, Floyd. That means a lot. That really does. So, as we celebrate here, we've got an election coming up in the fall, and God knows it can't get here soon enough, can it, Floyd?
I agree, you know, because I'll be on the ballot, so I'm working hard to encourage people to vote for one person.
And who would that be?
Floyd Nicholson.
Doesn't matter if you vote for anybody else, folks, but just mark down Floyd for senator for the state of North Carolina.
No.
There you go, South Carolina.
She's putting me out, I'm leaving.
State of South Carolina, yeah. I think you've really enjoyed being down there in the Senate.
Yes, it's been a good experience. You know, it's hard to believe 8 years already and everything. You know, I know you've been here 6 years, how time flies when you're having a... It's been a good experience, you know, and the thing about it, I like serving the people of District 10. You know, you have to think about District 10, and you have to also think about the state because we got to advance our state forward, you know, District 10 and everything. So it's been a good experience, and I enjoy working for the people.
And it's been a kind of a sad one, too, with the passing of Senator Billy O'Dell.
Yes, unexpected death, you know, because me and Billy were great, great friends, you know, because when I first went down there, we shared the suite together. Billy gave me a lot of advice and everything, you know, and his sudden passing really was a shock, and we're going to miss Billy, but we appreciate all the things he did for our state and for the district that he represents, Greenwood, Abbeville, and Anderson.
That's right. And, of course, Gambrell is
Mike Gambrell.
Mike Gambrell's going to be the senator now. So
right. I've known Mike for a while. Great fella. And I think he'll come in, hit the ground running, and do a good job also.
Well, let's hope that he doesn't forget Greenwood here.
Oh, no. I'm not going to let him forget Greenwood.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good thing. Well, you finished up the end of the year. You did a squeaker. You got by with a budget at the end.
Yes. It's always a squeaker, you know, but I think this year the process was a lot better. And the main things, you know, we did do something for roads, but we got to make sure we do something permanent for roads each year. You're not having to go back and get a little here and a little there. We just got to look at having permanent because it's a long-term fix.
It is a long-term fix.
If we fix a little here, the other's still getting bad. So it's a continual process, you know, and especially after last year, the impact that the floods had on a lot of parts of our state, the thing that happened there, and we've not really recovered from there because a lot of the federal funds that we received, you know, for the flood was just bringing the things back to the level they were, and they were already in terrible shape, you know, so if you bring them back to the level they were, we still got to make improvements to move them forward. you know.
Well, I think overall, I think one of the biggest problems is we spent how many, 10, 15, 20 years of not doing anything and actually robbing from the roads fund.
Mm-hmm. You have to support other things. You know, it's a big picture, you know, but we got to look at doing what we can for all of the programs that the state is responsible for. You know, it's a huge task, but we just have to bite the bullet and make sure that we continually, you know, do things for the programs that we're responsible for.
What do you think as far as the roads when you go back down there in January? And I know you all are probably already working and having committee meetings and everything. But what do you think? Do you think that eventually Governor Haley's going to have to acquiesce and we're going to have to go with a gas tax or...
Yeah, I think down the road we're going to have to do that, you know, and I'll say Governor Haley, you know, she only has two more years and everything, but I think it's a thing to do, and I think it's a thing to do now while the gas prices are down.
Correct.
You know, and we are next to the lowest in the entire nation. We are much lower than our adjoining states, North Carolina, Georgia, you know, and everything, and I think we're going to have to do that because that would assure us of steady income coming in each year that we can apply to the roads and everything.
I think so. And I think the other thing is it's ridiculous to say that, well, cars are getting better gas mileage. Okay. So it is a use tax. Those that use it are the ones that end up paying for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't understand this. We can't do this. It's not fair, and we wouldn't. And should we put in tolls, and should we do this, that, and the other? When a gas tax, although nobody likes to be taxed.
Exactly.
A gas tax could equalize and make the dollars flow in so much faster.
That's exactly true. And you know when it's a cars are more efficient. They're getting better gas mileage. So that means you don't have to buy as much gas. You know? So if you had an increase there, you know, still, it's going to balance out and everything, you know. And, you know, if you use the road and you think about the people that come through here, you know, to get gas, especially truckers.
Exactly.
You know, use a lot of fuel. And we are losing a lot of those dollars, you know, by not increasing the gas tax, you know. And it could be a gradual process.
Sure.
But it would be guaranteed income to assist us in maintaining our roads, you know.
It's first, good. We got to bring them back up to standard.
That's right. And then we got to maintain. But
yes.
I don't care if you bring them up and still don't have managed to maintain, you're going to get back in the same situation that you were in down the road.
You know, that is so true, Floyd. And when you talk about any program to build something, expand something, any of these type of things, one of the things we seem to have a tendency to forget to talk about is how much it costs to maintain.
Exactly. You know, that's one thing, you know, I say all the time, okay, now it's good to start something. Are we going to be able to sustain it?
Yes.
You know, I just passed one right down the street. What was it, Golden Chick?
Yep.
There. It opened up. It's boarded up now, right?
Yeah.
So it didn't have the sustainability. It was not bringing the people in, you know. Oh, yeah, the first couple of months, everybody.
Well, they were giving away a lot of chicken.
Oh, yeah. But the thing about it, they got a taste of that chicken, then they went on back to Colonel Sanders.
There you go.
But, you know, it's a sustainability is the most important. So anytime you're planning something, the main thing you need to think about is, are we going to be able to sustain it?
And support it.
That's right, support it.
And keep it and maintain it, keep
that's
it in
right.
good condition,
keep it up
all
and
those
everything.
Things.
That's
yes.
right, because it's important to upkeep of something if you're going to sustain it. You got to budget that in, you know. Oh, yes, great.
You can build it, but can you keep it
that's
and maintain
That's right, that's right. Yeah. I can feel our dreams. If you build it, they'll come.
Right.
You know, so you got to make sure that you figure those things in, you know, and that's one of the most important things when you think about infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can put it in, but you got to maintain it.
Yeah.
You got to maintain anything. You know, I think about Metro, how they're replacing a lot of the lines now in various parts of the city and county here because it was piped that were put in years ago.
Sure.
And now it's deteriorating. So they got to replace it. So you have to maintain those things that you started. Infrastructure is something that's so important. We got to have it, but we got to maintain it.
And, you know, one of the things that can happen is that if we don't get our roads and bridges fixed and everything, one of the things, it's going to affect businesses actually coming into the state. It's great that we have the number of businesses coming in, but are they businesses that are going to stay, or are they going to look at things and say, well, your road system, and we've got to use trucks, or it's kind of like the deepening of the port. If we didn't get the port deepened, and that's in progress, would be losing business coming into the ports, and those businesses that do manufacturing that ship overseas.
That's right. And the thing about it, if we don't deep it, those big ships can't come in, they're going to go somewhere else, right? And so they're going to relocate. We're going to lose those businesses and everything because, say, hey, you all are not doing the things we need to do so that we can be able to get our the raw materials in and get the finished products out to all parts of the world. So we're going to lose that. And, you know, it's important. The highways. I went to Columbia yesterday. I had a meeting. I was coming back on 26, and there was an accident. And all around where I saw was the 18-wheelers, the truckers. And you know where they're going? Down to the port.
Yeah.
And back to the other businesses and everything. So it's important that they be able to get their raw material and finished products to Charleston and, you know, to the plants. And we got to have the infrastructure in place, you know. And they look at, they want the infrastructure right now.
Sure.
Yeah, and if they let it go down and say, hey, you all don't maintain your infrastructure, and I'm paying billions of dollars share in this business, and you don't have the infrastructure to support my business, I'm going somewhere else where they do.
Well, the other side of that is we give away all the things to build them to get them here, right, with tax incentives
and
hookups to the metro and all this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah,
incentives. And then we've given them the incentives, and then if we don't keep the roads, then you've got a problem.
You know, I've always said, you know, you do these things to attract businesses, but we've got to do things to keep the businesses that we already have here.
That's true.
That's something that's so important. Oh, we're going to give you this incentive to come. What are we doing to keep the businesses that we have here? What are we doing to help the infrastructure that they need to keep their businesses going? You know,
exactly.
So once we get them here, we just cannot abandon them and say, oh, we've done all this to get here. Then we got to make sure we maintain the infrastructure that they need to keep them here.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I know is not popular to talk about, but if you really look around Greenwood, we have a lot of empty buildings.
We do. We do, you know, and that's, I think that's one thing a lot of people are working on, you know. I was glad, you know, when Colgate-Palmolive decided to come here.
Right.
They used an existing building. But
right.
I know it's taking longer because they had to do more things in
to
there.
To refit it.
Yeah, to refit it, you know, to that. And it's hard, you know, when you have come to the do different things, to do it different ways, to refit an existing building, you know, and everything. But I think when you think about some of the smaller buildings we have available, business can go in there and don't have to do as much refitting, you know, to accommodate those
sure.
and everything, because we have a lot of space here and we just need to attract, because we have a great community, a supportive community. So we need to do whatever we can to attract those businesses to come here.
Absolutely.
You know, I was great, just like in the paper yesterday, the new restaurant.
The new restaurant. Yes.
Did you read it?
No, I don't know if I read it. Which restaurant? Panera.
Yeah, Panera.
Yes, I did. Panera, uh-huh. Yes. Well,
yeah.
They've been talking about Panera for so long.
Yeah, I know.
I know, that, you know, but finally, yes, it's coming.
And that's good, you know, smaller businesses and everything, you know, and it's good for us to be supportive,
yeah.
You know, and then just like, though, it's good to get them, but we got to support and keep them here.
We do. Uh-huh. We do. So, you know, a couple of years, well, I guess it's a couple of years, it's over a year now, Old Navy leaving.
And just look, Ruby Tuesday just left.
Yeah.
You know, and Ryan's.
That was a big loss to the community.
Was,
I mean.
It was. It really was, because a few weeks before that, I was on the way to Columbia, and I heard on the radio, I was talking about the Ryan's in Augusta had closed down the same way. And that really caught my attention.
Right.
And then a few weeks later, but you know, it's with the time and everything, I guess people started cooking more at home, so.
Well, I think, I'm not sure they're cooking more at home. It's just everybody wants stuff cheaper and cheaper, and things and food and all these things are getting more and more expensive every time you go to the grocery store.
It is.
Prices are more expensive.
That's right. That's why I enjoy coming to the diner here, because the prices
free?
Are still the same.
Yeah, right. Free. Okay. All right. But anyways, these are some of the things that are on the mind. Now, of course, they were talking about the other day, and I mean, this was like, oh my God, what a huge gaffe, this $10 million shortfall of the budget. And yet we're talking about billions of dollar budget. This is really a drop in the bucket or a weekend, isn't it, Floyd? But yes. They're making it like, oh, all these agencies are going to be cut and it's going to be horrible. What's the deal?
Well, really, I think the media has really blown it out of proportion, because when you think of the overall budget, the billions and billions of dollars and everything, $10 million is just a little drop in the bucket, because a lot of time, and so $400 or $500 million, but $10 million, and we can adjust that. We can adjust that, It's not a bigger pitch as you thought and everything, but...
It's big if it's my budget.
Oh, my too. Yeah. That's way bigger. That's more than my lifetime budget and everything. But, to the average person, $10 million is a lot of money.
Sure.
But when you think at the broad picture, on the entire state, it's not really that much money and everything. So adjustments can be made there and made rather easily.
Well, that's good. Hey, let's join South Carolina Radio News. We'll be right back.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, on the 75th anniversary of WCRS. One of my favorite guests sitting right across the table from me, Senator Floyd Nicholson. We were just talking about, Floyd, how unfortunate it is that whether you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Independent, that we can't seem to get people together to do the people's business. We seem to have forgotten, whether it's on a state level, local level, or national level, that it's about the people, and that's what our Constitution, that's what everything's about.
I agree with you, Ann, because that's a lot of the problem right now, the partisan politics that we have and everything. And I know years ago, even when I got elected, John Drummond used to always say, Senator Nicholson, you got to work across the aisle. You got to work together. And that's how he said they used to get things done, They were willing to work together. They would debate things out, but it come down to the line, they were willing to work together, It's give and take. You have to think about what's best for the people. But we have now too many people concerned about what's best for the party, But I think you're elected to serve all people. It's been my philosophy the day after election, I got to serve all people. I don't care who it is, call me. If they have a concern, I have to be concerned about that people. And we need to get to the point where we are willing to serve and do what's best for the people, as opposed to doing what's best for our parties.
What's best for the party, and sometimes what's best for the individual.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. The individuals and everything, So we need to get to that if we're going to move forward and move our country, our state, in our communities forward. And I think that's one of the best things, when I served on city council and mayor, is nonpartisan.
Exactly.
Nonpartisan. Exactly. And so you ran on your credentials, you didn't have no allegiance to no party. So it was just the people deciding on the person.
And when you think about it, there are some offices that I find hard to believe that they are Republican, Democrat. Let's take the sheriff's office. Let's take the coroner's office.
The coroner. Yeah, you're going to go to a bar and say, let's see if it's a Democrat or Republican.
Before I pronounce them dead, or how dead are they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certain positions, I think, just need to be nonpartisan because you're serving all the people.
Clerk
everything.
Of court. There's
yeah.
another one.
Yes.
What does that What does that really matter?
Right.
What's your political
right.
beliefs uh-huh. are?
So you're exactly right, and that's something we really need to try to get away from, but everybody don't think the same way.
Well, I think there is so much money involved in politics, in Democrats, in Republican parties. I mean, there is a huge amount of dollars, and I think that is keeping our country from breaking free and becoming the country that we can become.
Exactly, because I know people have always approached me and said, oh, it must be something under the table, you know. Oh, I heard this person spent $500,000 in this election that pays only $10,400, you know, now. You know, you're sacrificing your time. So a lot of people just think, you know, it's the mistrust that they believe. Why would you spend so much money, you know, on an election, you know, that pays? Is the prestige or what, you know? And that's why a lot of people just don't have the mistrust, you know, because they think we make all the big money down there and everything. You run and spend all this money, you know, and so it's
well, unfortunately, there have been enough cases where that has proved to be so.
Yes, yeah.
That taints the pool.
Uh-huh. If they see one, they think all.
Right.
You know, it's one of the things that now, if one is doing, all is doing. And that's not my philosophy and not my belief, and I'm not involved in it.
I understand, but I mean, it is a shame.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about the ethics bill? Did it go far enough? The one that got passed, did it go far enough? Did it go too far? What is your opinion, Floyd?
Really, I don't think it went far enough. You know, I think disclosure, you know, and there would have been cases of people being dishonest and everything. But, you know, I have no problem with the clothes. I don't have anything, you know, and everything. So I think, you know, every year we pass something, then we have to come back and pass something else.
I wish
it was something we just pass that's going to satisfy everybody, you know, and just go forward. And not have to come back next year. Another ethics bill. We have another ethics bill.
Never really move forward.
Move forward enough. You know, we do a little here. Okay, let's spend some time next year doing another one and everything, you know. So,
you know, in business, you have to knock these projects out and move on.
That's right. That's right.
And you cannot wait to do it next year. You've got to do these things now.
That's right. But, you know, do a little and we'll come back next year and do a little more.
Well, you know, the Senate is the Senate, the South Carolina Senate. I don't know. Maybe all Senates are supposed to move slowly. But, jeez, the slowness sometimes can kill you. But talking about some of the departments that you are working with and your interest, what do you see from the perspective of the committees? You work with education. You work with the penal systems,
yeah,
correct?
Finance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What do you see?
I see it's going to be an interesting year, especially with finance. You know, we are recovering some. Funds are getting better, and we are beginning to move back to the level I think that we should be, especially in funding. You know, education, we're moving forward there, you know, and doing some of the things that we should do. And I tell you one, a committee I've been appointed to and had a meeting on Tuesday, is looking at our retirement system.
There's a biggie.
Yes.
They just came out with the dollars, the shortfall on that.
Yes. And so I was appointed by Senator Leatherman to serve on this committee to look at our retirement system and come up with some recommendations that we need to make because, you know, when I went down Tuesday, they say we are taking in about $2 billion a year, but we're paying out about $3
billion. Yeah. You know, I mean, and I'm kind of just talking from memory here, but that was one of the things that State Treasurer Curtis Loftus was working on, I believe.
Yes.
And how the funding and how the money was invested to come back.
And you know what? And one of the biggest things, our investments have been flat. You know, when you have in the portfolio projected return is 7.5, mm-hmm. and you're getting 0.5. Mm-hmm. You can't exist, you know, and you look at how
that money has to make money.
That's right. And we're not doing it, you know, and you get how we got to the point where we were, because a couple of things, you know, I think they had an effect a few years ago with the Terry program. Now, you know about the Terry program?
Sure, you can come back. You can retire, but you can come back.
No, not only that, you know, but it was where people could retire and then, you know, start drawing their retirement and put it in this escrow account. And, you know, you didn't get an entry, but you work. Now, that program, do you know what Terry stood for?
What?
The T stood for teachers.
Right.
It was just supposed to be for teachers to keep them into the program. But they found out they couldn't do that, so they opened it up to everybody.
So they have money sitting there that now they're going to have to pay out. Is that part of it?
Yeah,
I'm doing it.
You could join the Terry program, do it 5 years, okay? You start drawing your retirement, but you're still working.
Right.
And you accumulate for 5 years. That's your money that's in an escrow right there. Now, they're making money, a little interest on it, but you're just going to get what you put in there.
Right.
You know, and that's good. Then after 5 years, you get it out.
Right.
That's good. Now, that, and then when you think about last few years, you know, we had a reduction in force. A lot of people were cut. By not having as many people in the retirement system.
Don't have as many contributing.
Contributing. Yeah. That right. Another thing, longevity. People are living longer right now. You think, you know, years ago you worked 30 years, you can retire and start drawing your money.
Right.
Okay. You might be in your 50s. You got you, and you start drawing your money.
Right.
And you live till you're in your 80s.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
That's a big difference.
And when you used to retire at 65 and you were dead by 70,
right.
I mean, it was all actuarials, insurance. They're all done on that same principle.
That's right. See, and that's what's created a lot of problems. But we got to look out, you know, and the thing about it is a commitment. You know, I'm in the state retirement system. That's good, you know.
Right.
And that's why a lot of employees stayed there, because it wasn't big bucks, but the benefits.
You are exactly right. And benefits. A lot of people always say, I work for the state, I've got benefits.
That's right. And the benefits, I'm going to draw some income, and I'm going to be assured I can keep my health care at the cost that is, you know, because I have a friend that retired, worked with a company. He said when he retired, it was costing him $1,100 a month for insurance, you know. But the state plan, you save a lot of money. So it was the benefits, you know, and we've gotten to this point, and we're just trying to come up with some recommendations we can make to the General Assembly so to change things to make it better. Just like this past year now, what we did, we had a slight increase in the contributions from the employee and the employer.
Correct.
You know, so we got to look at ways that we can try to make it better, you know, for the younger people that are coming in. You know,
well, this is kind of like Social Security.
It is.
It's the same type of
principle and everything. You know, how can we make it, you know, better?
Because you got to say, make it solvent.
Exactly.
There you go.
Make it solvent. You know, you cannot continue to say, take in two and give out three.
There you go. It's an issue here. Hey, we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Does this make sense? We buy your gold, diamonds, jewelry, coins, sterling silver at the highest prices, paying extra for fine jewelry and quality, and we're always buying your diamonds and colored stones too. But we sell at the lowest prices, from diamonds to gemstone jewelry to sterling silver pieces and antique and estate jewelry. Always lowest prices for quality jewelry. See us today, Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. It's too bad you guys aren't with us when we're off the air. Woohoo! We're having some good conversations, folks. Sorry, can't share them. But anyways, we are here this afternoon with Senator Floyd Nicholson, and he is up for re-election. And, you know, Floyd, what would you have to say to the folks about why they should send you back?
Well, the reason they should send me back, because I'm committed to serving the people. I'm willing to work for what's best for the constituents in District 10, not just a certain segment, for all people. That's why I'm...
Republicans, Democrats, no. Black, white, purple.
After elected, you serve all people. You forget about party. You forget about race, religion, ethnic background, or anything. You just elected to serve the people. And that's always been my philosophy of doing what's best for the people. You know, and that's why I'm out among the people to see what's going on, to get their feel about it, you know. And I enjoy representing the people because I'm going to be serving them. And that's who put me there, and that's why they should send me back, because I'm concerned about the people and doing what's best for the people in District 10 and trying to make the quality of life better for the people in District 10.
Absolutely. Now, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask was, you know, there's been a big thing all across our country, race relations.
Mm-hmm.
I think basically here in South Carolina, and I think in District 10 here, that we really are pretty fortunate.
We're fortunate and everything. You know, a lot of people talk to me about race relations, you know, and it's a two-sided coin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one thing is, you know, is to admit when things were wrong.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you know what the other side is?
What?
You go to church.
Yes.
We always talk about forgiveness.
Yes.
Can we forgive?
I think you're right, Floyd. I think you're right.
Can you forgive and can you admit things were wrong, you know, and let's say, hey, they were wrong, let's correct this. Okay, I'm willing to forgive you, but a lot of times, that's why it's up to all individuals to consider, you know, if it's wrong and then be willing to forgive. It's easier said than done, you know, and that's, I think, but we got to be able to live because the things that happened in the past, you know, if they're not doing them now, we got to forget about that. We cannot live in the past.
That is true.
You know, we cannot live in the past. We got to think about what's right and go forward. And my philosophy is, you know, my father died when I was 5, my mama, but she always said, treat people the way you want to be treated.
It sounds vaguely familiar to the golden rule.
Yes.
Do
yes.
unto others as you want others to do unto you.
Exactly, exactly.
And I think we've gotten a long way away from that in a lot of ways.
We have. You know, a lot of people, okay, I'll do something if it can benefit me.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Instead of helping your fellow man, woman, helping whoever.
That's right. You know, just like, I'm not getting into it, but this past Sunday, our Sunday school lesson was love and how the Pharisees, you know, tried to trap Jesus. And they asked, which was the greatest commandment? And he said, the first two. It can fulfill those first two. You take care of the others. Love your God and love your neighbor as yourself.
That's
and
true.
I think if we could practice that with all people and everything, we could move forward. You know, it's not about the color of our skin.
No.
It's about the color of your heart.
Absolutely. And, you know, Senator Tim Scott and Trey Gowdy have started that program of working together, mm-hmm. getting groups together off camera without any media there mm-hmm. to really talk about the issues. That's one piece. And the other piece that I was very intrigued by was Senator Tim Scott and taking going to Sunday dinner with somebody that's not like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
go break bread with somebody that you don't know, that you don't have the same clique, the same group.
Right.
Get outside your comfort zone and sit down and talk to other people.
And I tell you, years ago, we did that right here in Greenwood. It was me, Mamie, Bob Dennis, who worked out at Capsule Jail, Bob Bentley, who worked at the Index. It was a group of us, about 6 couples, got together and went to Montague's one Friday evening just to have dinner.
Right.
You know, 3 black couples, 3 white couples. And a lot of people, what kind of meeting y'all having? We said, no meeting. I said, it's just a social gathering. You know what people start saying?
What?
Could we join in? And so we started this group. And about every quarter, we would just meet.
Right.
You know, in an informal setting, go somewhere. And when we stopped, well, Fuji came in at the time, we stopped, and it was a good way, and when we would sit down, everybody would bring a dish or something.
Sure.
When we sit down and say, sit with someone you don't know.
That is the best thing, and you know, we so often don't do that. We sit with people we're comfortable with that
yes.
we already know, instead
yeah.
of looking at that person and saying, I'd like to get to know
yeah.
that person.
And sometimes we would seat people where we wanted them to make sure they were not with
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
And that's in an informal setting, you know. If you go to dinner, you're very formal and everything. Go informal, casual.
Right.
And that's what you know. That's what we got to do. Start mingling with people to find out who they really are. But if you're doing it in a formal setting, you're not going to find out who they are.
Sure.
You know, have a grill a hamburger, a hot dog or something.
Sure.
You know, have a beer, a soda or something in an informal setting.
Yes.
And that's what it's going to take.
You know, we used to do that with baseball games.
Yes.
And, well, I guess the football games. But, you know, you think more of it as with baseball, where
uh-huh.
everybody got around together and just hung out and watched a good old baseball game. And, you know, part of that, I think, some of this maybe comes about because of the internet and because of social media and because everybody is absorbed with their phones.
Right.
We don't talk. How many places do you go that you see families?
Mm-hmm.
And they're all looking at their smartphones, and not a one of them is talking, and they're sitting at a table.
Exactly.
It's a shame.
It's a shame. You know, I know my twins, they look forward to football season because they have this big group that tailgate together. It's probably about 20-some young couple, and they're black and white. all nationalities. You know, they just look forward to having that, you know, and everything. And I could go up there, and we go up sometime, and I just sit out there at the because they have a TV out there at the tailgate.
Sure, yeah.
I don't go in the game. We'll just sit out there and watch the game.
You're probably
and eat,
a lot
you
more
know.
Comfortable.
That's right. But, you know, we need to get back to things. If we really want to make a difference, find out how people are. You
that's
know,
right. Find out stuff. and be able to talk about the issues.
That's right.
And not get a hothead about it.
That's
just
right.
Talk about it.
Uh-huh.
And understand where other people are coming from. You know, that's why I love doing the Diner Show, because I get all different points of view.
That's right. And that's what it takes. Everybody, you know, who's to say whose point is right?
Nobody.
You know? And
yeah.
then who's to say whose culture is right?
That's right.
You know,
absolutely.
Find out about the culture and respect the cultures, you know, and get to know the people.
That's
you
right.
Know.
People are interesting, and we all bring different things to the table.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Let them all come to the table, you know, and respect their views and everything. But I think we've done a lot of progress in Greenwood, and we're going to continue to do progress and everything. And you do a great job and bring a lot of it out by having your program right here at the diner, you know, where we can eat steak and discuss the issues.
Knew you were going to bring up the steak. Oh, well, anyways, you know, and I think really as a state, we're kind of lucky too.
Yes.
You know, we are across the state. I mean, when you look at what happened with the Charleston Nine
yes. mm-hmm.
and how we were able to handle ourselves, even the taking down of the Confederate flag.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, there was time to discuss and be upset and everything else. But in the end, everybody came together. So I think that South Carolina is very fortunate, but we can always improve and we can always become better.
Exactly. And there's something everyone can do.
And everybody has a special gift. And I think sometimes
yes.
we don't appreciate the fact that everyone is different, but they all are people. But, you know, who knew that I could talk on the radio? Who knew?
That's right. That's
I didn't.
Right. We all have gifts, you know, and all we got to do is respect that person's gift and let them express and use their gifts and everything. And don't be jealous if you don't have the gift that that person has.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, Senator Floyd Nicholson, it is always a pleasure to have you come and sit down. And I don't know if we solved anything today, but we sure talked about a lot of different things.
It's always a pleasure to be here with you, Ann. You make people feel so comfortable, and you do such a great job, you know, getting the word out and having the different viewpoints from people on your show to express their viewpoint and recognize their opinion and let people hear all of the different sides. So you do a great job, and I just want to congratulate you all on your 75th anniversary, and I truly enjoyed the steak, and I'll come back for the next 75 years, which will make it 150.
Bye, cracky, it'll be a good one. Thanks so much, Floyd. Yeah, I've been listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.